Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. I am Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. This is our 82nd episode of Thinks Out Loud, which just continues to boggle my mind. I'm so thrilled that you keep tuning in every week. I say this almost every week, how much I enjoy doing the show, how glad I am to have you here. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. We have just a ton of stuff to talk about today. So many good things in the news, so many good things out there to be aware. And I really want to build on this notion from last week about where your customers are taking mobile, taking marketing. Now, I clearly just said mobile, and mobile plays a big role. And one of the reasons why your customers are taking marketing the places that they are is because of mobile. And another reason, of course, is because the growth of millennials as a market. And I'm not going to belabor that point. You can listen to last week's episode, which, of course, will be linked in the show notes at timpeter.com/podcast if you want to know more about that. But I do want to build on that concept and talk about how that ties back to your business, how it ties back to sales. Now, I think of that as an e-commerce activity, and anybody who has listened to me for any period, who's listened to the show or has read my blog at timpeter.com/blog, knows that I believe it's all e-commerce. And I believe that because so much of what occurs online leads to a sale. Doesn't matter what kind of marketing it is, whether it's display or whether it's search or whether it's social or whether it's email marketing. Or whether it's, you know, those activities to build your email list, whether it's to build those activities to raise awareness about your product. I mean, if you're a CPG maker, you make consumer packaged goods, you're trying to get customers to be aware of your brand so that when they go into the store, they will go ahead and buy it. And so your digital marketing activities really are, to me, an e-commerce activity because you're trying to get people further down the path. If you're a nonprofit, you're trying to get people to take out their checkbook and donate to you or volunteer their time, trade their time on behalf of your organization. So again, that's still a transaction. Not to be that cynical about it, but just to be that realistic about where you're going with these activities. And so, you know, there's just a ton of why I always approach this from an e-commerce perspective. And there's so much this week that's worth talking about from an e-commerce perspective that builds on what we talked about last week. Now, I want to start with eMarketer has a new bit of data that shows that they expect worldwide e-commerce to grow almost 20% in 2014. Now, they're using the more traditional view of e-commerce, as I will be for most of this podcast, where someone actually transacts on your site to make a purchase, to buy something. But this applies no matter what you do, no matter what your business is. Now, that 20% is still a big number for something that's been around for, 20 years now? And I actually wrote a post earlier this week that talked about how the reasons why e-commerce has nowhere to go but up, seven reasons why e-commerce has nowhere to go but up. And just to look at these as a couple things to pay attention to. One, you're still seeing Amazon grow at double-digit pace. Two, Walmart is the second fastest growing e-commerce site. This despite the fact that e-commerce is only 2% of their revenues. They're like the fourth or fifth largest e-commerce player. And it only represents the merest shred of their overall business. We know that the web influences greater than half of all purchases that are made, regardless of the channel in which those purchases are made. And we know that smartphone use continues to grow in a big, big way. In fact, Benedict Evans predicts that smartphone use will about double in the next couple of years. And I'm going to talk more about Benedict Evans' predictions in just a moment. But keep in mind that we still haven't seen most people using smartphones. And then the last one, and I think this will have a huge effect on mobile commerce, and I think it will have a huge effect on omni-channel commerce, where people are interacting digitally even when they're in store, is that mobile payments are still in their infancy. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute, too. But first, I want to come back to this idea of how much smartphone use still has room to grow. And it has a lot. Benedict Evans, who I just mentioned a moment ago, has a great piece out yesterday, maybe, talking about what he calls mobile leverage. Just some amazing data to be aware. Now, he talks about the fact that there are already more mobile devices than PCs. He says there's somewhere between about 1.6 to 1.7 billion PCs out there versus 2 billion mobile devices. Now, these mobile devices are truly personal, right? They're not shared. It's something, when we talk about a PC, you know, for those of you who are too young to remember this or haven't thought about it, right? It's called a PC. It's called a personal computer. But really, most of those computers, about half of those computers, are probably work computers, probably have limitations on what you can do with them, maybe shared with other people in your workplace if you're, you know, on a retail store floor, or if you're in a hotel, or if you're in a restaurant, if you're in an auto body shop, right? The computer you use most regularly at work is not your computer, but it's a shared computer. Whereas your mobile phone is really yours. You don't share it with anybody. And it's truly, truly personal. The next is this idea of internet everywhere, which I've written about a lot in the past. I will, of course, link to those posts in the show notes. But it's this idea that people have the internet at their fingertips. Everywhere they go. All day. Every day. And the enormous changes that has on customer behavior. You also have this idea of the camera as an input device. There are, what, more than 2 billion photos shared daily, every single day, plus location, plus motion sensors, plus push notifications. And what it's doing is it's getting your customers accustomed to using the internet more than they did when they were at their desktop PC or at their laptop or when they had to, as we used to say, go online. And people who've listened for a long time or read me for a while know that I always say, no, people no longer go online. They are online. They carry the internet in their pocket. And what Benedict Evans assumes is that this will actually increase the size of internet usage, not two times, but more like 10 times. Because you'll be able to pull the phone out of your pocket at any time. It's yours. It's attuned to your needs. It's set up the way you like, and you're going to get very accustomed. And we see this. The data supports this, that people who use their mobile device use it a lot more often. They're online most, you know, more often than they were when they had to actually physically go online somewhere. Now, let's tie this from the business side. Harris Interactive, via marketing charts, I got this on marketing charts, but it's really Harris Interactive data, talked about the most popular online and mobile purchases. Now, if we just look at mobile for a second, it's the things you might expect. Digital content, accessories, some personal electronics, right? Things for your phone, perhaps. You know, batteries and chargers and things like that. And some household electronics, which, again, you think tech-savvy user, you think more comfortable being online. These data were very similar in the early days of the internet. Now, not included in that are things like travel and ticketing and events, which are huge, but they're so big they actually skew the overall e-commerce numbers, so they're not usually included. Now, the things that aren't mobile yet, clothing, medications, food, personal grooming, you know, HABA, health and beauty aids, all that kind of stuff. In other words, the sorts of things you get at the grocery store, And the things like clothes that you wear all day, every day. But there's a lot of data that suggests that there's a shift coming here. eMarketer has a piece that talks about how Germany's shoppers are heading online for groceries, but they're not going to their favorite supermarkets. They're going to the places where it becomes easier for them to get those things, the brands that they like, you know, the things that they can't get in their store. I do this already. I can speak to this specifically. There's a shave oil that I like when I shave that I can't find in my local grocery store. So I actually get that online. I get my razor blades sent on a subscription every 3 months instead of picking them up at the store. And that's a very common trend that we're seeing all over the place. When you factor in payments, shifting gears a little bit, that's also going to increase the scope of the mobile web. And again, this is Marketing Charts data. I got this from Marketing Charts, but Adyen is the source of the data that shows that, you know, global payment transactions are getting bigger when you consider mobile as well. It's about 12% overall, with on the low end, gaming being 5%, the smallest use, retail being about 10%, again, the sorts of things we talked about before. But when you get into things like digital goods, ticketing, travel, 20, 21, 27% respectively. 20% for digital, 21% for ticketing, 27% for travel. Now that's just smartphone. That's not mobile. That's not tablet. That's smartphone only. And already you're seeing numbers as big as 1/5 to 1/4 of payments happening mobile, via mobile. And we're going to see that continue to grow to the point where Luxury Daily has this whole piece about how Neiman Marcus is using Visa checkout, right? They want to get on the front side of this. This is so smart. So that as their customers begin to buy things via mobile, they can do so easily, or online, they can do so easily. Mobile Commerce Daily talks about how Apple's Passbook is the most commonly used digital wallet. And again, I think that's a real sign that customers who are spending money, and we know that Apple users spend more money on mobile than Android users do, for lots of reasons. This isn't to get into a religious debate about that. It's just the reality that Apple users do today. It shows that customers who are getting more comfortable with this are willing to do it more often. Shocker, right? Now, the last data point, and then I want to wrap this up and explain what it all means, is the Wall Street Journal has data that shows that 30 apps is about the ceiling for what your customers will use on a regular basis. And there's not a lot of difference regardless of demographics. Boomers and Gen X do use slightly fewer, boomers a fair bit fewer, about 22 as opposed to 30. But you quickly get to, you know, mid-20s and then up into the high 20s and into about 30 across. So the question really becomes to you, and this is where we're going with this, is how do you ensure that your app is one of those that your customers use? How do we ensure that your site is one of those that they use? How do we ensure that your business is one of those that they use? Now, we're seeing this across, we're seeing companies be affected by this because you don't want to have what happened in travel or ticketing or publishing happen to you, right? Travel, look at travel agents. They got hurt by digital because they did a bad job transitioning, generally. Remember the idea of ticket booths when you needed to buy tickets? So much of that has moved online now. And publishing, remember Borders? Remember, look at all the trouble that Barnes & Noble is having? Look at what's happening in publishing with Hachette and Amazon, right? Digital is becoming so critical to people in those spheres. The companies that are doing it well are winning. And you just have to look at those industries and see it. So what do you do to make sure those things don't happen to you? Well, first, make sure that the people in your store, you've got to connect online and offline more effectively. Look at things like how your salespeople are able to help customers. Do they know what's going on the website? Do they have access to the website in store? Look at the stores that are now equipping their customer service people with tablets or with smartphones and apps that actually allow them to access inventory and customer information very readily right there in the store. The Apple Store does a great job of this. Go figure. Can the customer access the web in the store easily? You know, we know that 2/3 of millennials are using mobile apps while shopping in a store. CFI Group makes that data available. And, you know, there's this idea of the endless aisle where everything's available to your customer, you know, where they can see everything. Because remember, you're competing with AgFam, Apple and Google and Facebook and Amazon and Microsoft to put this data in front of your customer. Why not make it easy for them to find your information while they're in store? If you look at what people like Target are doing or Walmart, they're doing a great job of this. Again, I talked about make sure your salespeople know what's going on. You want to tie your point of sale systems and your e-commerce systems together so that your inventory and your customer view are really well integrated. I was just in a Guitar Center last night, and they were able to pull up all kinds of information, and we had a really easy transaction, a really easy interaction, because they knew all kinds of details about me as a customer very readily. And make sure your loyalty channels, after people have purchased from you, work across channels. Do they work as well in-store as they do online, and vice versa? Can you make it simple for customers to do what they want to do? And the better a job you do of that, the better a job you do of getting in front of your customer, and the better a job you do of actually getting them to take out their credit card and buy from you when they're ready to, or tap pay on their phone when they're ready to. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are going really long today, but hopefully this was valuable to you. Hopefully this provided you some good tips about how you can make e-commerce and mobile go hand in hand, how you can be where your customers are heading online, and how you can actually support those customers really readily. So with that, I want to wrap up. I do want to point out that last week I did announce the 2014 e-commerce and internet marketing all-stars on the blog. You should check that out at timpeter.com/blog, because those are the folks who are actually helping you think about where this is going. Not just me, but people beyond that who can actually help you grow your business and grow your marketing more effectively. And as ever, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and go ahead and click on the subscribe link in any of the posts you find there. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher is by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud. Thinks Out Loud or Tim Peter Thinks, you should find me under any of those. I want to remind you, you can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, podcast@timpeter.com. Just, you know, send me any comments or complaints or questions or concerns or anything like that that you have. I do love to hear from you. I really do appreciate it when those emails come in. And with that, I want to thank you so much for tuning in again this week. I want to remind you, we will be back here next Wednesday. I hope you have a great rest of the week, a terrific weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.